Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Because of what Jesus did on the cross, believers can have a personal relationship with the God and King of the universe. Jesus fulfilled the requirements of the law so that we would not have to. Therefore, we should not focus on vain religious rituals, but on getting to know Jesus more intimately. Please open your Bible to Psalm 47 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola concludes his fourth message in his Christmas series entitled, All Hail, King Jesus.
He poured out his love, his forgiveness of sin.
How wonderful it is to know tonight that we have a relationship with the living God. A relationship with the living God. Think about that. Tonight is an opportunity for us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him. That's what eternal life is all about. Christ has done all of the work. He just didn't do away with the old sacrificial system and priesthood system. He became the system. You see, it's all Him. Scripture points to Christ. It's all about Him. And now we are in Him, and being in Him, we are complete in Him. There's nothing else that needs to be done. We are complete. And now our job is to abide in the vine. And just like in this enthronement psalm, one of the requirements, and say, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do today? What would you have me to do today, Lord? How can I serve you? How can I honor you today, Lord? The Lord has gone up with the sound of a trumpet or a shofar. And in the world of ancient Israel, the trumpet, when the trumpet would sound, it would summons the people. Sometimes it would call them to worship. Sometimes it would call them to bear arms. Sometimes it would call them to a sacred assembly. And the trumpet oftentimes was sounded with victory. And I think of Jesus ascending up into glory, and we read in Revelation 5, John says, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. Think about that. If God says it's loud. Well, I mean, how loud must something be for God to say it's loud? Right? Now, we have problems here on earth, right? No doubt, we do, okay? We get very, very sensitive with our hearing and everything, right? But put on your seatbelt. Heaven's not going to be a quiet place. I can assure you of that. We're going to be saying with a loud voice. You're going to be amazed how charismatic you will become when you're in heaven. We will be saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And I got the idea that these 24 elders have been on their face since then. The king has ascended. Praise and worship going on right now. But there's another thought here about the blowing of the trumpet I alluded to, or the shofar. The shofar also meant at times for it to be a wake-up call or a call to arms. But did you ever set your alarm and then when it goes off, go back to sleep? Don't raise your hand. And I wonder how many times you and I have heard a message, heard a worship song, reading our scriptures, we've been stirred up by God's shofar, the voice, only to get hung up in the things of this life, the extra things of this life. And what was a shofar sound now is like a little whistle. But the Lord, whether it be with the blast of a shofar or with the voice of a supernatural shout, remember what he said to the church at Ephesus, awake, thou sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ, give you life. And so this psalm is also a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call to you, to me. It's reminding us tonight, you know, the King has come. The King is coming. And if we don't worship him, the rocks will cry out. God will be praised. And after this declaration that he's ascended, and with this shout of a trumpet in verse 6, we read, sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in 2 verses, we are told to sing praises to God. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto him. You see, that's who we direct our worship to. Worship isn't a performance. This isn't like, I haven't watched it once. I've seen the program, The Voice, or American Idol, I-D-O-L. Is there ever such a good thing? Are there any good idols? No. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Why? For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. And so in verses 2 and 3, in verses 6 and 7, the command to worship is linked with the prominent theme of the psalm. Our God is King. Praise God. Who created music? God did. God gave the gift of song. He gave the gift of music. He gave the gift of harmony. He gave the gift of all of the things that we use have been given by God for his glory. Read Psalm 150. And some of these non-messianic Hebrew scholars tell us that the singing of praises can also speak of how let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let the cymbal praise the Lord. The timbrel, rhythm instruments, the trumpet, the horns. Everything that God gave us is meant to be used to give him glory. And the highest use of the gift of music is when it is used to praise the God who gave it. That's the highest form of worship. You know, praise and worship is so important for the people of God that in his book, the Bible, he puts the book of Psalms, their worship book, smack dab in the middle. And it's 3 times as long as any other book. Why? Because worship is beautiful. When we worship the Lord from our heart, that is so pleasing to him. The sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises with exultation and triumph. It has been properly said, let me quote, worship is a way of gladly reflecting back to God the radiance of his worth. What is worship? It's my heart's response to the grace of God. Worship is seeing what God is worth and giving him what he's worth. All of our heart and soul and mind and strength, all of our being. But notice here that beautiful balance. We're not only to clapping on beat. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you can do it. Yeah. Or just clapping unto the Lord randomly. We're not only to express worship to God with these exuberant expressions of worship, but we're also to sing with understanding. Engaging our intellect, engaging our hearts in what we're singing. You know, the Lord is looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And knowing what we are saying in meaning from the depths of our hearts is important. It's not like, well, I'll just kind of like lip sync worship. But come from our heart. Lord, you are my King. You're my God. I worship you. And there's substance and there's meaning. It's not just theology. You get that? That's worship. Coming from the depth of your being. Why do we sing praises to God? Because he needs it? No, because I need it. I need it. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. How? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. To who? To the Lord. So belt it out, saints. Don't be afraid if you're off key. Just don't sing off key up here. Singing with grace in your hearts. Singing with the realization of God's unmerited, undeserved favor that has rescued you from the pit of hell, from the clutches of Satan, from the eternal damnation due to your sin. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. My, oh my. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In Ephesians 5, Paul says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When someone is intoxicated, they're overwhelmed by some foreign substance. And the Lord says that there is such a thing as a holy intoxication. And being intoxicated with Jesus Christ. That's a good thing to be intoxicated with. Like the Bible talks about the household of Stephanas at the end of, I think it's at the end of 1 Corinthians, says that they were addicted to the ministry. I'm an addict. I'm addicted to Jesus. And I want more and more and more and more. Why do we sing? Because he's the king of the earth, for sure. But even more so, he's my king. He's your king. And when we gather together, we are declaring in one way, musically, that he's our king. See, there's something beautiful about private worship, but there's something more beautiful or differently beautiful when we all get together and we get to do this together. We get to sing together. We get to sing to our king together. How beautiful. How beautiful. And then in verses 8 and 9, prophecy. God reigns over the nations, verse 8, and he ends with all the nations actually assembling before him as his people. God reigns over the heathen. God sits upon the throne of his holiness right now. He's sitting on that throne. When John was caught up to heaven, he saw one sitting on the throne. That must have been so hard for John to get his eyes off of that throne. Sitting, not sweating, not pacing, sitting. When Jesus accomplished the work of atonement, he ascended to the Father and he sat down at his right hand. Now that's significant because in the tabernacle and in the temple, there was no place for the priests to sit down for the simple reason why being that their work was never done. But when the priest, our great high priest, accomplished his work, he sat down because the work of atonement is done. It's over. He offered up one sacrifice for sin forever. And don't let anybody tell you that there's a man on earth who can do some magic with a little piece of wafer and turn it into Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he paid that one price for sin once and for all, never to be repeated. He did it. And when you receive him, that's fulfilling. Jesus said, if you eat this bread and drink this cup, in other words, if you receive me, you have eternal life. But he's reigning tonight. Right now, he's reigning. Doesn't look like it, does it? Doesn't look like he's reigning. In fact, it seems like evil and darkness and wickedness and despair is increasing. But he's reigning. He's on his throne right now. You know, if you and I were on Main Street, Jerusalem, 2,000 years ago, and we looked at Golgotha, we would have thought, what a failure. And yet that was when Christ was performing the greatest victory that ever was won. And sometimes, saints, when it seems the darkest, is when Christ is about to shine the brightest. He reigns, and God's sovereignty does not depend on the consent of his subjects. It's not hindered or affected in the least by the contrary actions of people that reject him. He reigns. 1 Chronicles 16:31 says, "Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigns." You want to start some conversation when you're out Christmas shopping? Walk into Wegmans, walk into JCPenney, and it's their, you know, ring of the bell. And you help the Salvation Army. They help a lot of people. You know, put your, you know, and they got Santa Claus over here. Go, "Hey, the Lord reigns! The Lord reigns! The Lord reigns!" They'll call security for you in no time. But he does. Eastview Mall needs to hear that the Lord reigns. Greastown Mall needs to hear the Lord reigns. Every major city in the United States of America needs to hear the Lord reigns. The Oval Office needs to hear the Lord reigns. The Kremlin needs to hear tonight that the Lord reigns. ISIS needs to hear tonight the Lord reigns. He reigns. He does. He simply does. In Revelation 19, when the Lord's about ready to return to this earth, John hears, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." I love that verse. I just love that. I could read that over and over and over, and I'd get so excited, you have to carry me out of here. He reigns. So don't let the current events of the day discourage you, beloved. Awake tonight. The Lord God Almighty reigns, and he is coming. And remember what we learned on Sunday. God looks and he hears what man is saying against him, their rebellion, their folly, the refusal to let him reign. And he looks and he listens and he says, "Are you kidding me?" No, I'm sure. When I say that, there's a little tone of, ugh. But when God laughs, it's with a perfect love and with perfect holiness. It's not a laugh of, nah, nah, nah. Beloved, our God is watching over us. He's working for us. He's working in us and through us. And though evil and wickedness abounds, King Jesus reigns, and he is coming back. He came the first time just like the Bible said he would. He's coming the second time, just like the Bible said he would. He is coming. He's sitting on the throne of his holiness. And the idea is that his government is established in holiness or justice. And King Jesus is thus seen here stamping out all opposition and raising the flag of holiness over all the earth. And where will his throne be? According to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17. It will be in Jerusalem, and that position is confirmed in Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 7. And during his kingdom reign, Jerusalem will be cleansed, purified, and recreated, and it will become the joy of the whole earth. And it is from there that Jehovah, in the person of Jesus Christ, is going to rule and reign over the nations. Hallelujah. And then in verse 9, the princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. The fact that the people of God will one day be gathered together is why we do missions. The fact that the people of God will one day be gathered together is why we do evangelism. That's why we do what we do. Because there is a people of God out there. And how are they reached? Jesus said, "If I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And our responsibility is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And whosoever hears and believes is saved. That's why we do evangelism. That's why we do missions. That's why we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." There is going to be a day that all kings are going to fall down before him and all nations are going to serve him. Psalm 97 verse 9 says, "For you, Lord, are high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods." He's exalted tonight. He's exalted. You know, in Revelation 19, we will see Well, we see in the scriptures that Jesus is coming back with his bride, the church, and he's coming back to set up his kingdom on earth. Think of that. Ever think of that? Sometimes I get so overwhelmed thinking about that fact. I was reading about it today. Heaven is open, and the armies of heaven follow Christ to this earth. And we don't lift a finger in the battle. We just watch. Think about that. All of the firepower and all of that the earth can come up with, and this just so it thrills me. Not that they're going to be destroyed, but to think of the power of the king, and Jesus is going to smite them with the sword that goes out of his mouth. There they are, and he goes, boo! Can you imagine? And those who receive him will go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and those who reject him will be supper for the fowls of the earth. And that's why Jesus tells us today is the day of salvation. That's why Jesus tells us that it is harvest time right now. That's why Jesus said to Simon Peter, who was a horrible fisherman, I will make you to become what? A fisher of men. So this is a season to go fishing, right? Go fishing. Go fishing for souls. The age of darkness is coming to an end. The arrival of the king and his kingdom is closer tonight than it ever has been. Praise God for that. The king is exalted. He is exalted. Amen? Amen. Lord, may we hear that shofar sounding in our hearts tonight. I need that all the time. It's so easy to get distracted, attracted by this or by that. It's so easy to be encouraged, and it's just so easy to be discouraged. Lord, tonight, grant us that revelation of your coming. And may we occupy. We don't know the hour. We don't know the day. But you tell us to be ready. We don't want to be like the evil servant who kicked back and said, oh, the Lord delays his coming. Stir our hearts afresh tonight. Give us a fresh desire for you, for the things of your kingdom, for the things that are holy and righteous and pure because you sit on the throne of holiness. Give us a deeper love for one another. Lord, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity, because that's where you pour out a blessing. And Father, we want to express with all of our hearts tonight your kingship. Some are so desperate, and if that's you tonight, our prayer is that you would look to Jesus Christ. You would look to that cross in Calvary, and like the one thief on the cross, turn to him and says, Lord, remember me when you come into the kingdom. Call out to him tonight. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, how far gone you are, if you will trust Jesus Christ tonight with all of your heart, he'll forgive you, he'll heal you, he'll make you whole. Lord, and we just praise you and we thank you that you are so gracious and kind. And we read of your coming in kingdom and your coming in judgment, but we also know that you are long-suffering because you're not willing that any perish. You warn us that we might repent. And where there's a need for that repentance tonight, Father, we pray that you would grant it. Your son's precious name. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his
holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. What is Christmas all about? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of man, who was born in a manger, lived on this earth for 33 years, and died to take away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of man, is the central theme of all Scripture and also the theme of our Christmas messages here at Koinonia. He is our light in the darkness, bringing perfect peace to those who keep their mind stayed upon Him. May we lift up our Redeemer Jesus this Christmas and pray that many would see the glory of God in the face of our precious Lord and Savior.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.